Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. Cofield and Company on a Tuesday. We're trucking up the floor. Not really. Just being safe. Trying not to cost the station money. Greg doesn't care. Greg Salerno's here. He's a wild man for the next 3 hours, so who knows what's coming out. Are you doing the Trump double D dance there?
No.
Here, ready? Here, let me show.
I was kind of doing the robot. It was the robot, but like in a different form. I don't know. Robots aren't usually fat, so I was just kind of doing this. Yeah.
Aren't there fat robots in some cartoons?
I don't know, but like doing the robot itself, you have to kind of move your arms outward from your body to get around. You know, like a regular robot just goes straight down like this. I can't really do that physically, so I have to go outward to the side a little bit.
I don't like when you poke fun at yourself, Greg. Too much self-deprecation.
I'm just being honest.
You're a quickly improving, slimming down guy.
Still on the way there. I mean, if somebody met me today, they'd be like, oh, he's fat. If somebody saw me like a few months ago and they'd be like, oh, you lost weight, it's different because they, you know, but people that don't know, you know, that's it. That's what I look like. I'm trying.
You're like 90-something pounds, no?
Nah, I'm like 80-something. I kind of plateaued around the 80-pound mark, and I've been I'm like, well, I can maintain this weight and still eat a lot because I'm so fat.
I know. I've been trying to cut out late-night snacking.
Yeah.
And then I had, like, it's been a bad week.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's only a couple of chips. Yeah, but it's every day, moron, stop late-night snacking.
I know. And I used to eat only one time a day, and then now I've been eating earlier and earlier, so then later at night I'm like, oh, I could have a, you know, this, and then I eat it, and I shouldn't.
Well, let's say it right now, and this is an excuse. It is. Football season is tough.
Yeah.
Like, we saw that. I don't know if you saw the viral video that was just done horribly. I wish I could have pulled some audio from it, but a guy gave his girlfriend or wife 2 weeks notice about football season coming. Like, I'm not available on Sundays, but he sent it out, or he wrote it out like it was to his boss.
Right, right.
But there was like loud music. She just starts laughing halfway through. But I like the theme.
Sure.
I like the theme. Football season does change everything in terms of schedule.
Right.
It just does.
Oh, of course.
Saturdays and Sundays are completely different. Then you throw in Thursday. For us, you know, we're doing a show until 6 o'clock. I got stuff to do afterwards.
Like, sure.
By the time Fatso gets to eat, unless he's eating, you know, whatever, apps everywhere. It's like, you know, that's the other thing. It's just fall becomes just appetizers.
Yeah.
Just whatever appetizer looks the cheapest.
Yeah.
I'm in, and I'm like, okay, hopefully I can eat this before, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night. And then, of course, I mean, do I have to have 3 beers? Yes, of course I do. Or 2 beers or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's Fatso time. We're in.
It is. And, you know, it's stopped as much. I mean, it happens sometimes, but before the pandemic, there was always food in this break room. Always. Like every single day, there was wings, pizza, whatever. So then I would eat here and be like, well, I already ate at work, so I shouldn't have to eat later. And then later I'd eat anyway. And then it's like, yeah. You know.
Well, I think it was a mission, or maybe it just happened. I think sales fixed that. They heard your wishes, or
yeah.
Did something else happen?
I'm not really sure.
No. We're killing it going to the fall. We are killing it, Greg.
I haven't seen anybody. Do we have sales still? I haven't seen anybody in sales in a long time.
Remotely. They don't need to be here except to
That's
eat.
True. But why do I have to be here then? They have internet. I could just go on the internet thing.
I don't know. Make their quest.
Yeah. I didn't really think about it till now.
The reason we do the show here is, unlike you guys on the – I'm salty today.
Yeah.
Unlike you guys on the FMs, you know, wacky FM people,
sure.
We have to, you know, we have to do like 44 minutes an hour.
Wait, so you don't you stand like outside minutes. For your entire shift and then go back inside and go home?
I actually, when I prep at home, I walk outside a lot. I
know.
Breaks.
You know, it's funny because I work in FM, so I can make
outside,
fun of them.
Yeah.
But like, you're right, dude. Like, they don't do anything. Like, I swear, I'm like prepping for your show, and I'm like, this is a lot of work. Yeah. Like, compared to what, you know, that's like a week's work of worth in FM.
I hate this.
Like,
if I could share a what's the drink of choice next door? Is it a Bud Ice? No, I swear to God, for years, it was a Bud Ice. It was like two tall boys of Bud Ice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think I could drink two or three tall boys during the show and I wouldn't cuss.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would slur much.
No, there's a limit, though. You're right.
But there's a certain point where then it becomes kind of dangerous. Because we've had, I don't know if Jared's been around long enough. We've had the drunk shows in the past.
Oh, I
missed
them.
We tried like two of them.
Yeah.
And Yeah, one guy just got crazy and started talking about the other guy's wife and what he wanted to do her, and it was on air.
You mean the talent?
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't like just random people. It was like people that worked on the show?
Yeah.
That's great.
Not on this show.
No, it's fine.
Not on this show.
None of us have wives.
I was going to say, I made sure over the years that if we have someone with a wife, they're out quickly. Because we just talk about them constantly, badger them, and then the wife says, get off the show.
No, you're right, because I've done shows like that before where I shouldn't have been on air at all, and it's definitely harder. It's a lot harder to follow regulations when you're drinking.
Yes, 44 minutes versus 13.
Right. Well, wait, what?
I don't know.
13 for the month, you mean?
Oh, it's 13 overstated? No, these are the engines that drive this place. We love comp, and we love the point. All right, little baseball coming out here.
Yeah.
Little baseball. I do play fantasy baseball, so I'm very much into stats.
Yeah.
I don't do them on the show because most people are not into stats unless it's people my age and older.
Yeah.
Right? So I was a nerd, like Stratomatic back in the 80s and 90s, and I've played fantasy baseball. I'm in a league that I've been in since 1989.
What?
This league is older than most of you people here. No.
Wait, how'd you do a league before the internet, though?
I know. It's crazy.
Wow. Must have looked like
I didn't run it.
When they do the mob, like the FBI has like a mob board or whatever, and they have it all on the...
I mean, some dude tabulated the stats.
Wow.
Hand wrote these stats and mailed them out. He must have missed stuff over time.
Mailed them out?
Yeah, we would be like in the mail, like, oh my God, it's here.
That's like, remember Netflix used to mail DVDs or whatever? You just put them back in the mailbox and send them back?
It's so absurd. I don't know how it was ever done.
Yeah.
I don't know how it was ever done. So, wow. Long story short,
yeah,
I'm into stats, and I actually... The reason I'm going to be very selfish here on this stat, although I think this is a big story, Aaron Judge is having a monster season. I want to talk about Ohtani in a second. Are you mad if Aaron Judge goes for 66 home runs?
Yeah.
They're like, woo, he broke his own AL record.
I think it's stupid. I don't get me wrong. It's great. I mean, if he had 66 home runs, no matter what the record is, it's a great season. I think Aaron Judge is an all-time great power hitter. He's amazing. But there is a record, and it's not that. So, I mean, we try to pretend like the entire era of the records went away or something, or they didn't happen.
Do you think people pretend that?
Because they don't want the. They think that, well, first of all, look, I have no idea, but Aaron Judge is not a small guy either. So you could say he's naturally big and he's not taking anything fine. But it's because they think the PED era
is over.
Is over. Right. Yeah.
He's 6'7", 282. Mark McGwire, I think at his peak, was probably 6'5", 290.
Yeah.
We know McGwire was enhanced. We believe a lot of other guys were enhanced, but I think part of the story that's never told is so were the pitchers.
Of course.
And it could have been pitchers from like, you could have a big, like Roger Clemens, who was like 240 pounds, right?
Yeah.
To Pedro Martinez, who somehow threw 99 miles an hour at 5'11 and 130.
Yeah.
Or out of nowhere, the big unit was able to stay healthy.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And like harness his control.
Yeah.
I don't know what those guys were doing from 5'11 to 6'10. And, you know, Curt Schilling with the bloody sock, he had one of those careers that was like 28 years old to 35.
Yeah.
Did it help him to get, you know, finally break through by throwing 3 miles an hour harder at the front end at 28 and then break him down by the time he was 35?
The funny thing about him is that he's so hard on the people that, you know, in that era, after his fake sock even, he still did that. He talked about it all the time. And it's like, dude.
Who is the most into talking about uncomfortability with gays and pedophiles?
The people that are, of course.
Oftentimes you're like, wait, the whole time?
Yep.
Really? You?
Yep.
After all you said?
Right.
So,
like,
I'm not lobbing that at Curt Schilling.
Like,
I'm
I know. I, for a second, I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds right.
But oftentimes, like, you hear people and you're like, wait, you were just saying,
right.
For 13 years, you campaigned or talked about this.
I know.
You railed on it, and we find out, like,
I know.
You
it happens
you
all the time.
You can't resist.
It happens all the time. And I feel like that era was the best era.
It was an awesome era, but I do think people fail to understand that it was the pitchers, too. So the hitters who were overcoming pitchers who were hopped up are still incredible.
Yeah, Greg Gagne had like a face like a coffee cake after all that, whatever he was doing.
Are you accusing, of all guys, Greg Gagne?
Yeah, you remember?
Can I tell you, I've thrown out, I will never say, like, I know for a fact, because I don't want to get us sued or me sued.
Yeah.
But there are often times where I'll be like, wow, that's a lot of home runs all of a sudden, a lot of power. And I was talking about Jim Thome, right? And
we have
Marty Cordova on every once in a while. Marty's a legendary local baseball dude who won the Rookie of the Year in 95. And there are a couple times I said it to him, and he's like,
you know what? I'm going to accept his defense on this. He's like, if you ever saw Jim Thome with his shirt off, he was not on steroids.
but here's the thing. I also believe. And
that
I'm,
doesn't
I'm,
mean
I'm,
anything, though.
I also believe there are, you watch, like, world-level powerlifters.
Exactly. Russian weightlifters, those guys.
Or the strongmen.
Right.
Like, they can, you can have a round gut and be, you know, 6'3 and 340 pounds and, you know, rolling in the deep, whatever, however you want to call it.
Yeah, I don't believe any of them, to be honest. I mean, especially if you know that it helps you, not even just to hit or home runs, if you know it helps you heal, why wouldn't you take it? I would take it too.
That too. I mean, certainly that was the HGH.
Yeah.
A lot of guys got healthy and were able to stay healthy. No, what Judge is doing is incredible. He's a massive human being. The other thing is he's hitting 330. If it weren't for Bobby Witt Jr., who's at like 347 as of yesterday, any other year, Bobby Witt Jr. as a shortstop would be the MVP.
Right.
But Judge is having a monster season. He's on his way probably to, well, I don't know, 63 home runs. But the incredible thing is I don't know if that's the best feat by a hitter this season, because 6'3", 230-pound Shohei Ohtani, who also can pitch and start and strike out 175 guys in a year, has shut it down for the year, and on his bulky elbow is heading towards 50-50. 50 steals and 50 home runs?
That's crazy. You know, I looked it up, and Judge, I think there was three other guys, because somebody did it twice. So there's like three other guys that hit 65 home runs, you know, ever in the entire baseball. I think Ohtani would be the first, right, if he did this?
50-50?
Yeah, because they had 40-40, but I don't think there's anybody else.
I don't think there's ever been a 45-45. Not that 45 is some kind of benchmark.
Sure.
No, 50-50 is
would be it.
Incredible. There's been guys, Acuna was like 37 and whatever, 80 last year.
Yeah.
Do we take anything
away? I think it was 73 he had. Okay. I don't know why I remember that number, but I think it was 73.
Do we take anything away from Ohtani because they're sliding into the pizza boxes now? They did make the bases bigger, and it did seem to have a big effect last year.
Yeah.
And
no.
Now you've got guys back to stealing. It's not Ricky Henderson days with 130.
Yeah.
Or Lou Brock.
Then you're kind of.
Now we're back to, you know, guys going 60-plus steals.
Then you're kind of doing the PED thing, though. It's like
nitpicking.
Yeah, you know. I mean, whatever.
Everyone can do it.
Yeah.
If they're all sliding into a freaking massive bases,
exactly.
They do it.
Why aren't they doing it then? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Who would you rather have?
Ohtani.
Ooh.
Yeah. I know I'm a Yankees fan too, but I feel like, well, first of all, Judge is 32 years old.
Okay.
And he's oft injured. I don't know how many years he has left.
I mean, so is Ohtani, though.
Yeah, but he can still do this when he's injured.
I'll tell you what, that was one of the things. I was laughing at people when we found out that he had to get Tommy John.
Yeah.
And you had dorks in some big marketplaces, like, oh, the Mets and the Giants. Now they can get Ohtani at a discount. I'm
right.
Like, no, when he's not pitching, he's going to be 40 and 130. And I knew he could steal at 20 bases.
Sure.
I didn't think he could steal 50. But he and Judge are otherworldly right now with the numbers they put up. And they're both on winning teams, so they certainly have justified being the MVP.
With how important pitching is, would you rather have him as a pitcher or a hitter, a full-time?
Hitter.
Yeah, because he can play the field. And
well, I also don't think that most pitchers can go like more than max 7-8 years before blowing out their arm or becoming a reliever or losing their stuff.
Do you think eventually he'll play the field like an all day, everyday player like that?
Yeah. He just can't throw right now. I mean, obviously, you don't want to get out there, you know, even at first base. I think if I were the Dodgers, I would never start him again.
I wouldn't either.
I would make him, and I guess we'd have to talk to a pitching coach and, you know, scientist.
Science.
Yeah. And see, like, could he be a part time closer?
That would be cool. I remember
you can't use him 70 appearances, but can he be the closer for 40 games? And by the way, the way the Dodgers work, like they go through a season, they use like 9 guys a closer, which is, you know, another one of those revolutionary things that the Rays management, and now Dodgers management, it's the same, and Rays are still doing it. Like everyone, you know, when you play fantasy baseball, you're like, oh, it's like 7 guys are getting saves, I can't nail the closer. Like, that's the plan. They don't want to have one guy go out there and, you know, be mentally taxed and also have to throw freaking as hard as he can for 65 games a year, so they mix it up.
I feel like, I don't know if I like that, though. I mean, the results probably speak for themselves, but, well, like a guy like Mariano, you can't bring those guys in unless it's like a certain situation where it's like, you know, they feel it, like it's a on-the-line type of thing, and I think some of those guys need that.
I mean, the flip side is, do bullpens by committee with 3 closers work? Because during the season, you can kind of hide it when a guy blows a save.
Right.
It becomes really tumultuous and chaotic in the postseason when all of a sudden the guy you relied on, you're like, okay, like who's up? I mean, let's go back to Schilling, right? Do you remember Schilling? Was it Byung-Hun Kim who was
the
Korean
with
pitcher,
the Diamondbacks
side armor and a red light Kurt.
Yeah.
He'd be all dramatic, you know, when Kim was coming in the game and then he's out there struggling a little bit. He's got a towel on his head looking through it like,
I actually hope he fails.
Right.
So I get more attention.
But guys like that, when you get to the postseason.
I want to rip off a video game company. I have things to do.
You know, we have to get to Jared has a really good conversation coming up about one of the local columnists in L.A.
Uh-huh.
And I thought your Dodger point was excellent. So we're going to build on this in the 4 o'clock hour with your Dodger point. All right, we got a lot more baseball to get to.
I got chicken on my shirt.
It happens, man. You just noticed it?
Well, I tried washing it off, and there was this big stain here before the show started, but it was drying, and now
it's
dried.
It looks like one of your good shirts.
I know.
All right, we'll get an update on what kind of chicken that Greg had and how he spilled it. And today is cut day, so we're going to be really somber.
Yes.
Some guys have lost their jobs, so we'll announce who the Raiders are moving on from. And then there are a lot of big names from 4 and 5 years ago who are losing their gigs around the NFL on this Tuesday.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
These are the dangerous days. I didn't have that much coffee before the show. Cofield, Salerno, Jared. If I have too much coffee or sweets before the show, then I go like full cornholio.
Yeah, me too.
I lose control, and I can't do it with you because you're already like that.
Yeah, so. I will. If I drink coffee, forget about it. I almost had to put myself in a home last week because I drank some coffee.
Everyone calm down. Okay. You've got a stain on your shirt, so we need the update.
Super annoying.
You said chicken.
Yeah.
What kind of chicken? I know you want to give a free pop to someone, so go ahead and do that.
That's all right. You know what? I'm going to respect your opinions and not give a free pop to anybody. I'm going to just
let me see if I can guess who it is.
All right.
What kind of chicken did you get?
It was tandoori chicken that rolled down my shirt.
Oh, that's so good.
I know. It's really close.
There's so many good Indian places.
Mm-hmm. There's a really close one that's really good.
Nice.
And I went over there, and I was all excited. I just took a shower, put a new shirt on. And I don't wear like a lot of... like nice shirts. I mean, it's not even that nice, but I mean, that's a collar on it, you know. For me, that's nice. And it doesn't have like an F word on in the front or something.
That's like an Izod.
Yeah. See? You know, those are cool back in the day.
That's nice. Can we get some shout? Isn't that what takes it out, or is there a generic shout?
I don't know.
Now I'm giving a pop.
Well, I tried. Yeah, exactly. What are you doing?
I know.
So I tried. I put some soap on a napkin, and I made this giant, like frisbee size stain. And I was like, you know what? By the time the show starts, we'll be on video. It'll dry up, and then you won't see anything. But now I have like two little tandoori marks on my shirt.
Just so you know, we know you're very sensitive, so we basically only shoot you from the neck up.
Yeah, that's what I have actually in my contract. I have just my nostrils is all that's going to be on from now on.
But then when we do that, you've often complained that then your face
is too close.
Fat.
Yeah, I know. So I just don't want to be on any video or pictures.
You're the most high maintenance person on the show.
I really am. I just have me, you know, like when the mob has a guy testifying or something, and he's just.
It's the opposite. Yeah, we hear your voice, but everything else is
exactly.
Blanked out.
Just do that
because we can't do the. We can't
no,
do
not
the,
not
voice.
The like, not the roar, not that voice, but like just have me blacked out. Yeah.
Sorry, I was gonna try to do another Aaron Judge take, but I can't do it. I'm laughing too much. It's not funny though.
Okay,
today's
good.
Not a funny day.
No,
this is when NFL teams are trying to cut down. I want to be delicate about this because I'm not mocking the players. But today is one of those days where Raider fans get smacked in the face. The reminder that the previous regimes, when it came to the draft, and especially first-rounders, were so bad.
Yeah.
So bad. You know, there's no explaining away their record. Because what we've got is a laundry list of guys selected from 2018. And sadly, even into last year with Josh and Dave, if Tyree Wilson, as a top-10 pick, is like Cleve Furl too. And by the way, they better hope he becomes at least Cleve Furl.
Right.
Because at least he can play.
Right.
A little bit rotational.
Sure.
But today we find out Alex Leatherwood cut and Johnny Abram. And if you remember, Abram was one of three first round picks 1 year. I think that was the Furl, Abram, Josh Jacobs.
Was that when they got picks for the defensive end? What's his face?
Mack. I think it was a mix of
Mack,
Khalil,
yeah.
Mack, Khalil Mack, and they also got first-round picks for Amari Cooper.
Oh, that's
so
right.
So not only did they miss on first-round picks, they had extra, and they still missed.
Why is my brain farting on names all the time? Anyways, yeah, well, again, you hire a guy from television. I mean, I don't know what experience he had doing this stuff, but
Mike Mayock.
Who do you think had more power in the decisions, Mike Gruden. Mayock or Gruden? You think Gruden?
I won't even let you get it out. Gruden.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think Mayock probably made some mistakes. I mean, some of the stuff that Mayock said was amazing.
Sure.
Like, they take a – See, now I'm blanking on it. I was like, Gary and Conley. No, it was a different guy. Why am I blanking on the Ohio State kid, cornerback, who they took?
The rifle at the camera guy? What's his name? Jared knows. What's his name? I thought you would.
In a second.
All right, I'll
forget it sometimes. But he actually admitted afterwards. He's like, oh, we knew he had character issues. Yeah, well, he was slated to be a third or fourth round pick. If you knew he had character issues, then right. you'd be expecting him down to the fifth round. You took him with a first round pick?
Right.
That, I mean, Ruggs passed a lot of the eye test. And then he did what he did. He killed a local and her dog.
Right.
And
Arnett, Damon Arnett.
Damon Arnett, yeah. And then, like, in comparison to killing someone, let's just talk about the football part of it. Who's the highest paid receiver in the NFL now? Justin Jefferson. Who went after Henry Ruggs in that draft? Justin Jefferson. Yeah. Who went after Henry Ruggs in that draft? CeeDee Lamb.
Jerry who just Judy, got paid as well.
Jerry, yeah.
yeah.
See, this don't. I'm not even a Raiders fan. This
I know.
I'm sorry, Raider Nation. But when we bring this stuff up, and I get your pain. Because remember, during the NFL draft, or right before the NFL draft, they would have they'd put together this montage of New York Jets first-round picks.
Yeah.
And I would just feel like, because it would bring up everything from, like, the 80s through the early 2000s. Like, why every year do you have to show this?
Right.
But for Raiders fans, like, they have – Ruggs thing.
Well, that's just
that's a terrible reason. They have so many guys, Greg, they took with a first round pick who are and have been out of the NFL or on their way out of the NFL by 26 years old. How can you miss that badly that often?
Who do you think their best first round pick is since they moved to Las Vegas? Can you think of one that like stands out to you? Like, oh man, that's
I think Jacobs was very good, but they didn't want to pay him.
Okay. All right. Do you think if Ruggs, now obviously he made a ridiculous decision and did something horrific, but if he didn't, do you think he would have worked out as far as football?
I think he would have been a 50-catch, 900-yard guy with a, you know, maybe higher touchdown numbers, like 10 touchdowns.
Like a DeSean Jackson type of guy
but
almost?
I don't think he would have been. I mean, Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb are like 115-catch guys for 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns some years.
Yeah. The CeeDee thing to me is weird, though, because he plays a lot out of the slot and stuff. So I don't know if I consider him like a guy like that, but I mean, production-wise, he's amazing. He always tortures us, especially the Eagles. But I'm just saying.
I think a good way to look at this: if you're an elite receiver, that means that other teams go into the game and they're like, "How do we stop him?"
Yeah,
like that. It might be the number one or two target.
Right.
If you're a 50-catch, 900-yard guy, then that might be the fifth guy in the ledger you got to stop.
Sure.
I mean, I hope, and I'll put the prayer sign up that Brock Bowers turns out to be Travis Kelce too.
I think that kid's going to be.
For that level of pick, I hope he's eventually, 80 catches, 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns.
I think he's special, man. I think that guy's really special. That's the one guy I think that's going to, be wow, right away special. But, I could also be wrong. I am a lot.
Coming up, we're going to talk a little Mountain West Conference football. We got official week one on the way. There's a handful of games, and one of the experts on the Mountain West that actually works with the Mountain West is our buddy Jesse Kurtz, who happens to be the radio color voice of Air Force. Air Force is one of those teams that I think has been vastly underrated, but maybe he'll come on and be like, bro, you're way wrong. Like the quarterback, the running back, the O-line, the defensive line. There's troubles all over the place. That's coming up in 10.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Salerno's here. We're just getting started here on Cofield and Company. Got some good giveaways coming up. Jared is here as well. He's in for Griffin. Jared sends over your story list today was awesome. Seriously,
because he's good at that.
It's all over the rundown today.
Yeah.
So I appreciate.
No, he's good at
Jared's
that stuff.
Stories, really good stuff. But there are a lot of times I can't understand what he's saying.
That's most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The stories are good.
You sent over a story called Gator Wine. It's the trend of the summer. This is why I appreciate having Jared on, because he's a lot younger than me. What is Gator Wine?
So it's a trend where you take a cheap, it has to be, I believe the rule is it has to be less than $12, bottle of wine, and you mix, I believe it's one-third Gatorade or Powerade or what have you, and two-thirds wine, so that way you can drink from like 9 a.m. by the pool all the way to 9 p.m. by the pool. So you're replacing your electrolytes and you're enhancing a cheap bottle of wine without causing yourself damage.
It's like a gamosa. Well, Gatorade, I'm saying. Not,
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I wasn't.
I'm going to turn off my mic after that.
Dude, the look on your face, that was funny. You're like, I got one over on you. I figured it was a Gatorade mimosa.
Yeah, that's it.
You're still in the same hotel, or are you rotating hotels?
Oh, man, I got news. This sucks. I didn't want to tell you.
No, I just wanted to find out if you could, like, this weekend,
Labor
Day weekend,
I would try.
Can you sit at your hotel pool with, as you put it, a Gamosa or
I think
with
you could.
This Gator wine?
No, you totally
that
could.
That would kill a lot of the day.
Yeah,
you'd
yeah.
Probably be pretty smooth with the ladies.
There is actually a hotel I'm going to this weekend, but I have news. I don't want to, like, it sucks because I'm going to, like, ruin everything with it, but.
Okay, I promise I will stay calm.
Okay.
I'm not going to overreact.
Okay, don't overreact.
This is my favorite story that Greg has been bouncing from hotel to hotel. He's the slightly less super rich. No, I guess it would just be slightly less wealthy version of Howard Hughes.
Exactly what it is. Yeah.
But you live in a hotel.
Not anymore. I know. Wait a second. It sucks.
What's going on here? this was a big part of the show. How dare you do this to the show?
I hate it. I'm mad about it, honestly.
You found somewhere permanent?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't want to.
Guy or girl?
A girl.
By the way, that was bad. I should not assume that you have a roommate. You make a lot of money here.
That's so true. Sure I am rich.
You may have purchased a house.
Yeah.
Or you
yeah. No. No.
Condo.
I'm not using all of my riches though, because I'm only renting a room from somebody.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. It's funny because I lived there before, and then that's when I went to the hotel. But then now I'm back on a discount.
Wait a second. All right. Can you mark this down on the? We don't have a tease board anymore. Can you put it in the rundown? Greg's new digs at 525. Please, because I got to get more details on this. It was a great story on the front end.
Well,
I've got good news for you.
Yes.
Cofield & Company, I've decided to buy us into, because we all like to do gambling. Let's do it for real.
Okay.
So I've decided to buy us into Circa Million. So we will have an entry. So if people don't know, Circa Las Vegas has these two great contests, $16 million in total prizes, Circa Million, Circa Survivor. Circa Survivor, you got to pick one winner every week. You can only use that team once a season. You got to win or out. So you could pick an obvious winner, obvious in quotes, in week one and get dumped. I know Sammy P, who's coming up later on, had a sitch where I think it was Jacksonville upset Minnesota out week one after he paid to get in. Circa Millions. Oh, well, that's easy because it's season long. No, you got to pick five games against the spread and then quarterly records are kept, prizes are handed out end of the season. There's other prizes along the way, but that's five games against the spread throughout the season. So that's what we're in. We're going to figure out a way to do our Cofield & Company entry. I already told Adam Hill, not invited, you're out. He's been hemming and hawing about it, but that decision is final. He's out. But for everyone else, you got to sign up by September 7th. There is $6 million up for grabs total in Circa Million, $10 up for grabs in Circa Survivor. Go to any Circa property. You go in, you go with the ID, you sign up, you're good to go. Then you can use the app. But you do have to be in the state of Nevada to put in your pick. So if you need a proxy, they've got proxies. But Circa Las Vegas has two great contests, Circa Million, Circa Survivor. We're in. You should be in, but you got to do it soon. Don't waste time and wait until the last freaking day. Get in now to some of the best contests that Vegas has to offer and the state of Nevada has to offer with Circa Las Vegas.
Now back to Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So throughout August and even back into July, we've been doing UNLV opponent previews. In this case, Air Force. I just want to talk Air Force, and I want to talk Mountain West Conference. Now, I'm 99% sure we have Jesse Kurtz from the Mountain West and the color voice of Air Force with us. Here was a problem, though. Jared calls him. You could see Jesse was like, hey, how you doing? And instead of just answering, great, Jared starts to go into how he's doing. Like,
yeah,
Jesse, you did not in any way mean to actually find out what Jared was, like, how he's doing or anything. You're just being nice, right?
I mean, I care about everybody. Of course I want to know how he's doing. My question to you is, if you're 99% sure it was me, what's the other 1%? What was the other option here?
I'm always prepping. Well, I actually thought it was going to be a dial tone because you hung up. I think you hung up on purpose. The phone cut out. He had to call you back. You were like, you thought about it. You're like, is this guy really telling me how his day is? No, I'm not doing it. I'm gone.
I'm out.
Yes. I wouldn't blame you. I would be like, yeah, it's our fault. It's our fault. Come on, Jared. Get it together. All right. So Air Force is intriguing. I want to get to the other Mountain West schools in a couple minutes. I've been telling people Air Force is good value to potentially win the Mountain West Conference. People have been coming back to me and saying, hey, they lost everyone. And my response is, I don't care because Air Force is, Jesse, you know this, they're a freaking machine. Can we just start with the key positions? What's going to happen at quarterback and running back in this offense this year?
Yeah, so that's a good question, and you know as well as anybody, a returning quarterback is at least a really good starting point as far as a predictor of success. And Air Force lost its top three quarterbacks from last year, didn't lose the starter, didn't lose just the second string, but lost 1, 2, and 3. So the starter, as it stands right now, and I think it probably will be throughout the entire season, barring injury, is a guy named John Boucher, a guy that has been highly touted since he came to the Air Force Academy. He got hurt it was spring of his freshman year. So he missed a good portion of what would be the training ground to compete for a starting job last year. But they've been very high on the kid. He played at the end of the year against Boise State, got some real-life game experience that I think will help him. But a guy that throws the ball very well, doesn't run the ball as well as the quote-unquote typical Air Force quarterback, but he still runs well. But he throws a great ball. He's a kid out of Port Charlotte, Florida, was not heavily recruited during the pandemic, kind of was one of those kids that got lost. Air Force got in on him late. He was going to play baseball, saw his film, said, hey, we got a spot for you, and the rest is history. And he'll make his starting debut on Saturday against Merrimack.
Do you think there's I don't want to say disrespect, because we're a very patriotic country. We love all of our, you know, military, armed forces, all that stuff. But when it comes to football, I feel like sometimes there's like a negative connotation with playing for Air Force, as if they're not up to snuff with the rest. Do you think that a good season, the top of the Mountain West, can change some of that this year for the team?
I mean, it's a team that's won 41 games in the last four full seasons.
Right.
So, I mean, the track record speaks for itself. Now, do they get the Ricky Whites of the world? Do they get the four or even they get three-star recruits around here, but like that's the high point. They'll go out and get guys that are under-recruited, that have a chip on their shoulder. Rare is the player that comes to the Air Force Academy that has multiple FBS offers. It's usually they're offered by the other service academies, a handful of FCS offers, but rare is the player that comes in here that had offers from UNLV, Boise State, Colorado, TCU. Just don't get those guys. So you get the guys that have a chip on their shoulder, that they see something in them that could get into this system here at Air Force and succeed. And I'll tell you, the recruiting staff at this place at the Air Force Academy for the football team is as good as any when it comes to finding guys that are the right fit that ultimately can succeed. I mean, you look at the wins that they've had in the last 4 years. We're talking bowl wins over JMU, Washington State, Baylor, Louisville, have beaten Colorado twice, one of which was on the road. So it's a team that rises above that proverbial bar, and it's a reason they've been in the mix at least towards the end of the season for a Mountain West championship game. Haven't gotten there since 2015, but they've been in the mix pretty much every single year, pretty much since 2015.
Well, and a good example of, you know, how recruiting works, there will be guys who maybe offer to be a quarterback and say, you know what, I'll go somewhere else because I don't want to do the service. And that's the biggest hook is, you know, the complication. You have to find guys who want to do the service. I'm not saying that he went out of service, but there's a guy in UNLV who's a backup receiver. I think he will be one of their key players. He's behind Jacob DeJesus, D'Angelo Irvin, out of Oklahoma, and he was offered by Air Force, and he chose to go to UNLV and, you know, work his way up. But that, you know, going back to my original question about being afraid of Air Force, it's a freaking machine. And I'm so scarred over the years of watching UNLV try to defend. I mean, last year was a great example. UNLV was playing a good game, and then all of a sudden, you know, they got the run game kind of under control, and then all of a sudden it's running back going down the field. It's someone freaking turning the corner and busting off 50 yards. It's just there's so much explosiveness that the whole respect thing, I know everyone in the Mountain West, no matter who the personnel is, Jesse, has a respect because they know what a machine this is, how precise the run game is for the Falcons.
that nobody loves playing Air Force, whether it's in conference or out of conference, because it does change everything in your prep. Obviously, it's a very unique offense that very few teams in the country run anymore. Spend some time in spring ball on it, so it's not foreign when you get into game week. But you're right. It is a machine. They've done a really good job of plug and play, and it didn't quite matter who was the guy. Now, they've had, some elite guys that took everything to another level. Brad Roberts, a couple of years ago, ended up being the Mountain West Offensive Player of the Year. He was unreal. Now, he's a once-in-a-decade type of player, maybe even longer, but they have done a really good job of plug and play. The problem with this year, guys, as it relates to the plug and play, the amount of guys who haven't seen the field for Air Force is stunning. And I mean, there are very few teams around the country that return less production than Air Force. I mean, they've lost 80% of their rushing yards from a year ago. They've lost 85% of their passing yards, and they've lost something like 70% of total tackles from last year. So the plug and play is in full force at a level that Troy Calhoun has not seen in his time. Now, does that mean that they won't be good? Of course not, because they've recruited very well. But I think the learning curve is going to be very steep for some of these guys because they haven't been on the field at all or too much when it really matters.
Talking to Air Force Academy radio color voice, Jesse Kurtz. We talked a little bit about the offense. Steve brought up the fact there's a lot of turnover. I think they only have like one returning guy on offense. What about the defense? Yep. Have they improved the defense enough this year, you think, to be a top five team in the Mountain West?
I do think that they'll finish in the top half of the league. I do think that they are good enough to do that. I just don't know. I mean, on defense, they've got three starters returning and a lot of guys that will fill roles that haven't seen the field too often. I mean, Peyton Zadroik is the guy up front that is their heavy hitter, highly recruited kid. Dad played at the academy. He is the mainstay up front. He's been a little bit banged up, so hopefully he can get ready to go. The linebacking core pretty much has got a complete overhaul. Secondary is the strength of the defense. Jamari Bellamy is back. He's a guy that's on the Senior Bowl watch list. He's a big corner, 6'2", 185. Camby Goff will move to free safety. He's taking the spot of Trey Taylor, who, of course, now is with the Las Vegas Raiders and was the Thorpe Award winner. He's filling his role. Camby's a heck of a player. Missed all of last year. He got hurt in the second quarter or third quarter of the opener last year, blew his Achilles and was done for the year. He's back for his senior year. He's a really good player. And Trey Williams, also a starter. So you've got basically three to four guys that are returning starters in the secondary. Other than that, and Peyton Zadroik, it's another complete overhaul. So, again, it's kind of like I'm not sure where the bar is for this defense. I know there will be some growing pains. Hopefully for Air Force, they can get those out early in the season so it doesn't linger late.
Best team in the Mountain West Conference, is it Boise State, even with Maddox Madsen and not the five-star, former top six recruit at quarterback in the country, Malachi Nelson?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're the most talented, and I have no problem with the narrative that right now it's Boise State, and then there's a somewhat of a drop-off to the number two. Who the number two is, you could convince me, literally, you could convince me of five teams that are the second-best team in this league. If you told me UNLV, I'd say, of course they are. They've got an All-American back. They've got one of the best linebackers in the country back, and they've got a heck of a coach, and they have that taste from last year. So I have no problem with someone saying UNLV. If someone said Fresno State, got Mikey Keene back, got Malik Sherrod back, they've got all the tools that are necessary to compete with Boise State, and they have that bitter taste in the mouth anytime they play Boise State, actually beat them last year, I'd say, of course, Fresno State. I think Colorado State and Wyoming are dark horses in this race to get into a championship game picture. I think they have enough talent to be one of those teams. And to your point, I don't think you can leave Air Force out of the equation just because they always have found themselves in that mix. And you look at Air Force's schedule, they avoid UNLV and they avoid Boise State. So two of those teams in that mix, they don't play in the regular season. So if you look at the schedule and you look at their track record, I put them in that mix. So you could convince me of any of those teams are the number two team. But Boise State, I think, right now is the most talented team. And if Maddox Madsen beat out that former you know, number one quarterback recruit in the country. He had to do some good things. And, oh, by the way, they have a Heisman candidate in Ashton Jeanty running the football. They've got one of the best pass rushers in America in Ahmad Hassanein. So they've got all the players to have a very good football team. So I'd say Boise State won. You can convince me of five other teams that could be number two.
I'm going to go with the polling before the season that we used at Mountain West Conference Media Day. 2 and 3, we'll say, are Fresno and UNLV. Bigger concern, UNLV being completely new at quarterback. I don't think Cam Freel is going to win the job, but Hodge Malik Williams and Matt Sluka, or Fresno going from Jeff Tedford to Tim Skipper. Bigger concern.
I'll go with the quarterback position because I think that is so incredibly important. You would know better than I how those two transfers are playing, but I think quarterback is so important, and I've, as I said, I think it's one of the biggest predictors of success. And I love Mikey Keene, and, you know, Tim Skipper's been around a long time. He coached the bowl game. They got a win. So I don't have any problems with Tim Skipper being the guy and getting that team rallied and ready to play. So long as UNLV, though, gets good quarterback play, they'd have to be great, but good quarterback play, they'll be right there. But if you're asking me bigger concern between those two, I'll say concern at the quarterback position for the Rebels.
Jesse Kurtz, you can see him on lots of the Mountain West Conference coverage of all sports, but we're talking a little football here. Last one, we got a minute. I want a 6-win team from this bunch. Nevada, San Diego State, Utah State. Which one?
Ooh, okay. Without looking at the schedules and playing the win-loss game,
yeah.
I'm going to go with San Diego State. I think Sean Lewis is going to do some great things there with the change of the offensive mentality. I think it's a community that has had an appetite for this type of football. I'm not sure they're there yet, but if you're asking me out of those, I'll take San Diego State.
Yeah, Utah State will play Bobby Morris this weekend, then at USC, hosting Utah, cross-country trip at Temple, then at Boise, home UNLV. My Lord, poor Dreiling, you know, 2 months on the job, right out of the gates, he gets it.
Yeah, just spent last week with them in their camp. What a wonderful bunch of kids, and I really love Nate, but you're talking about a gauntlet to start the season. That is certainly that.
Jesse, you're awesome, man. Look forward to seeing you during the season. Thank you so much.
Likewise, guys. Be well.
Take care.
Color voice for Air Force. I was really laying it on there.
Yeah, it was.
Let's go. No prep.
I know.
Football knowledge. No schedules. Come on.
It was actually exciting to hear somebody go like, oh, they're going to avoid UNLV. You know?
Right?
That's not something you normally hear. That's pretty cool.
It's a little bit different. So I didn't feel that bad about saying Utah State.
Right.
At home against UNLV. Trust me, that place is another hellhole.
Right.
Because, well, usually they're really good offensively.
Sure.
I was up there during the Jordan Love era, and it was like, what is going on? There's just freaking footballs flying all over the place. That crowd really gets into it. And it's also one of the places when you play on the road as a football team. There was one time I was up there, it was like 73, sunny, I'm sweating at 12. They kick off at 1. By the fourth quarter, it was 46 degrees and sleeting sideways.